Becky here. You are listening to the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast, and today's episode is generously sponsored by Grayson Solicitors. And today we are delving into quite a critical topic. It's clinical negligence. It's a subject that touches many lives and often unexpectedly. And with the expertise of Grayson's, we'll explore the complexities, share some stories, and also offer some guidance on what it actually could mean for us. And today at Grayson's, I am with the clinical negligence team, and I'm joined with the beautiful Nikki and Jessica. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for coming and having a chat with me today. So it is, that is your official title. You're part of the clinical negligence, is it, team, yeah?
Yeah.
So do you know what I think would be really useful is just to start with explaining what clinical negligence is. What does it mean in sort of terms of everyone could be able to understand it?
Negligence is quite a difficult and complex thing to actually think about, and there's loads of complex areas of law that address what clinical negligence is. So I'll give a brief rundown, but obviously there are lots of different remits in this explanation, I guess. So the first thing, in a negligence claim, you have to prove that there's been a breach of duty of care, and that means you have to show that the treatment provided was substandard. So it has to be a treatment or an action, or it can be a failing or an omission that was substandard. So it has to constitute substandard care to be a breach of duty of care. In some cases, the breach of duty can't be supported by a responsible body of medical opinion. So if another doctor would have done the same thing, then you won't have a negligence claim. There won't be a breach of duty of care. You then need to prove, after you've proven breach of duty, you then need to prove that that breach resulted in a loss, and that's what we call causation. So usually the loss is that somebody's condition has exacerbated or deteriorated as a result of the alleged breach of duty of care. There can be a physical loss, there can be a financial loss, a past financial loss and a future financial loss. But you can't succeed with only one of them. You can't only succeed with a breach of duty, and you can't only succeed with a loss. They have to be connected.
It is a bit of a minefield, and I do think as well that we see, not so much now, but we were at one point, we saw a lot of adverts, didn't we, saying, you know, have you fallen over at work? Is this da-da-da-da-da? And, you know, it goes a lot deeper. They use the sort of very, I suppose, small, typical reasons to claim negligence, didn't they, Jess? Whereas it goes a lot deeper than that. Yeah. What could you deem as being negligence then? Could you sort of say to us in a scenario, what is it that you see a lot of? Do you see a lot of one type of thing?
No. So the short answer, the simple answer is no. I don't think I've seen a case that's exactly the same ever. Every day is a school day for us, and we do heavily rely on our experts and medical opinion. There are the standard misdiagnosis, delaying diagnosis, but that is very general, and you just go in a bit deeper when you go into those topics.
Do you have to have, like, this is, for me, I'm like looking at you two ladies, you've got to have such a wealth of knowledge of all areas, aren't you? So one, the law, and then two, obviously, the medical side of things. Nikki, that must feel like a huge pressure at times.
I think the pressure is there in the first place because all of our clients are aggrieved. So the pressure is there regardless of what knowledge we have to have. We always want to get a good outcome for our clients. And I think, as I said earlier, it's not the type of thing where you just switch off at 5 o'clock and go home and you don't think about your cases. You do. The people creep into this. We are all in this for the people. We have to have the knowledge of the law, and we are all very skilled in knowing what the law is, knowing how to apply the law. Yes, we're good at that. I mean, after 13 years, I think I've realised I'm pretty good at that, and Jess is great at that. So the law is one thing. All lawyers are good at knowing the law, applying the law, researching the law. The medical side of things, it is just experience, unfortunately. It's not, you can't sit down and read a medical encyclopedia and expect to absorb all of that information and to know it and carry it around on a daily basis. So you're never going to know all of that. Same, I mean, I guess that's the same with doctors. You know, they go to medical school, but until they're actually in the field practicing, it's very difficult for them to know everything. And we're the same. And we would never hold ourselves out to be medical experts because we are not medical experts. We rely heavily on medical experts who are skilled in their field. So we're not in it alone. That can make things protracted. It can mean it takes a long time to get answers because the better the expert, the longer it can take for a report to be received. But if you know that's the right expert for the case, it's worth the wait. So as lawyers, yes, we're skilled in law. We've got quite a lot of good knowledge about medicine as well, but we are not medical experts. So we have to be guided by those experts.
And you do a great job. You know a lot more than, you know, a lot of people, that is for sure. And it must be quite frustrating because this is one of the things that, you know, has popped up quite a bit, is that what happens if a doctor hasn't looked after you properly because they don't have the knowledge, because they've not been passed the knowledge in that particular field? What happens then, Jess?
Well, there are standards. I mean, the cases that we see, something has gone wrong. So it's down to us to obviously investigate what's gone wrong. And it's down, like, it's sad, but it's these errors that puts procedures in place. So when bringing a negligence claim, you might think, oh, people's going to look at me and think, oh, I'm suing the NHS. But they're actually doing something positive because there are guidelines that get put into place and policies on the back of that as well.
So that is a case of just like, actually, if we'd have done this way, then this is where we can learn this, and we can then sort of lead the, you know, NHS England or NICE guidelines or something like that. Because again, you know, I feel, and I'm learning this quite a lot, I keep saying this, that phrase a lot, I'm learning this a lot, is that there is so much information out there that people just don't get, you know, they're not being privy to. And I mentioned before in another episode that I'm very, you know, this is my world, and I suppose I live and breathe breasts, really, in a way, and I've never known any different because of mum's choices from back in the day and running the helpline, etc. Whereas actually majority of people don't know any of this, and they are not privy to this information. So in that sort of circumstance, when it comes, because I know you have, haven't you, Nikki? You've dealt with a situation to do with family history and breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Are you all right with sharing, you know, just as much as you can and what the scenario was?
So obviously, if anybody comes to see us and to ask our advice, everything they tell us is confidential at the point of the inquiry. If they decide to run with a claim, then we have to put the defendant on notice of a claim, so then it's obviously confidential to the outside world, but it's not confidential, as in from our perspective, it's confidential to the outside world. At that point, the client can go and speak about it if they want to. But in terms of us putting a claim forward, at the point they contact us, we don't discuss it with anybody, and we don't discuss it with the outside world unless somebody gives us permission to or asks us to, or unless it's required, in which case they'll be given the advice about that. So I would never talk about the specifics of a case without getting a client's permission anyway. And I don't think we need to talk about specifics of exact cases, because over the years I've had lots of cancer cases. There have been lots of delay in diagnosis cases, misdiagnosis cases, and often family history is relevant. So there have been cases where somebody has had a family history of breast cancer. They've been to the GP and they've been dismissed. Their concerns have been dismissed. The relevant NICE guidelines haven't been followed, the pathways haven't been followed, so they've not been referred on, and then that then becomes a delay in diagnosis. The only reason that that would ever really become a claim, so it's not enough, as I said before, for there to be a failure to refer on. Sadly, it has to then become a condition, or their condition has to be exacerbated or deteriorated for then there then to be a claim. So in one of the cases, for example, there was the GP failed to recognise family history and failed to refer on. And then the patient, in the opinion of our medical experts, wasn't given the right SOS advice, which is, if you have any lumps, have any problems, to come back. They weren't referred on the pathway. And then they subsequently developed cancer years later. or they found out about the cancer years later. And as a result of that, sadly, they did pass away. So it was too late at the point it was diagnosed. I have had other cases that have been in the hospital, so the GP's done everything they needed to do. They've referred them on in the first instance, done exactly what should have been done, but the clinicians at the hospital haven't treated it appropriately. There's been a misdiagnosis. They didn't think it was cancer. At the same time, in that case, I think there was also a failure to consider the rules regarding and the policies for people who have got a history of cancer, the offer of a mastectomy and things like that. So nothing was done. And then obviously it was too late at the point it was actually diagnosed.
And none of us, you know, again, none of us ever sort of want that to be the scenario in what we're in. But I'm sorry to have to say this. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen on sort of numerous occasions where doctors haven't taken people seriously. And it's something. And I'd be interested actually in working with you guys sort of further down the line, if that's okay, to put something together that gives us strength that the doctors can refer to. Mm-hmm. I've had many ideas of things. I want to do something called booby bingo, right? Where you have a booby bingo card that's got your risk factors on it and your family history factors on it, and how it could help the doctors, because let's be honest, they're under the cosh. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're sitting here and we're sort of saying, well, they were negligent as to putting this knowing the family history and putting it through. But we are also human, and we do know that the NHS is under a lot of strain, that the doctors are under a lot of strain. And even as far as when it comes to surgery and stuff like that, there isn't enough of them. So I feel like from our point of view, what can we do that will make it easier for all of this to sort of make this process easier going forward? So it'd be great to work on something with you guys.
That sounds fantastic. And funnily enough, as a clinical negligence lawyer, I've got health conditions, I've mentioned genetic health conditions, but whenever I go to the doctors, I almost take my bingo card type thing. I look what the rules are. I look what they should be doing. And I highlight the specific factors that are relevant, so that if I go in there with those issues and they don't do it, then it's their fault, basically. And I think I need to start from the place that, in my opinion, and I'm sure in Jess's opinion, most doctors do a fantastic job. We absolutely love the NHS. You know, we are so proud of them. We're there with our badges. Most of the time, it's not got it on today, but generally, you know, we are so proud of them, so grateful for the NHS. However, there will be people that get it wrong. And when they do get it wrong, the only way that people can learn from their mistakes, like Jess said, is by pursuing a claim or a complaint.
And I think, again, this is what you do. You're hitting the nail on the head, and it's just sort of making us understand. I remember there was a scenario that I had with myself, with my little boy, and him hitting his head and sort of having to go back multiple times. And the complaint I rose was not about money. It wasn't about anything like that. It was about, just come on, yeah, I don't want this to happen to somebody else. Mm, yeah. And do you find that's quite a lot with a lot of the people that you have as well, Jess?
Yeah, definitely. People come to us and they do say very often, it's never about the money. I just want to make sure that this doesn't happen to somebody else. And that's what we're here to do. And just to essentially to make sure that that net is wider and that people just don't get missed.
And so this is where people don't understand that that's how far that it goes. I think we just hear this no win, no fee, and yeah, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Was actually, they're not respecting the work that goes on behind it and what movements that could actually be making.
Yeah. And people, claimants, often get a bad rap for bringing a claim, and that's the worst. You know, that's really upsetting for me to hear as a clinical negligence lawyer. I've been called an ambulance chaser, you know, all of these things that we're just in it for the money. I can honestly say that is not why we do the job. If we were in it for the money, we'd probably do something else, because 9 times out of 10, the compensation that you get is not what you'd expect.
And it's not worth what's had to have been through.
Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we are stuck within the rules. We are guided by case law and guided by the judicial college guidance, which tells us how much a case is worth. There's obviously differences, because as Jess said, no case is the same, but we can't pluck a figure out of the air. We have to be guided by those brackets, and it's disappointing. And especially when you've got a fatal case, no amount of money is ever enough. And I guess that sounds like our soundbite, that no amount of money is never enough. But it's not because we've got greedy claimants. It's because of what they've been through. When somebody has suffered to the extent that our clients have suffered, we want to get them all the money in the world, but unfortunately the law doesn't allow that.
And if you look in situations, again, I'm sort of plucking things here of scenarios that I know, and I'm not using any real names or anything like that, but, you know, you want to make sure that your family's looked after. And if this scenario, and especially when it comes to family history, or if you feel like you've not been cared for properly, we had one lady who couldn't access the psychological test in time, and because you have to have a psychological test before you're allowed surgery. She couldn't access the psychological test. And unfortunately, before that psychological test was available, she died. So, you know, again, her wishes, you know, at the time were, please, can we change this? Please, can we make this? Because I know I was sound of mind enough to want that operation. And look, it's just been proven that that is the case. And also, if you want to, you know, sort of go down the negligence line, is a lot of the time people are thinking about their families and how they're going to look after them and make their life better going forward. And like you said, that can either be through, you know, making sure that they're protected with some pennies in the bank, or actually changing the policy full stop to make sure that this next generation is protected and is looked after. But not just them, let's look after the medical profession in doing so, you know, and let's protect them on the other side of it, because they need to learn as well.
Yeah.
So I think, ladies, you know what I've just sort of realised as we're having this chat, because I can see two very strong women in front of me that are clearly very sort of determined behind what they do and why you do what you do. It always comes down to, it's why do you do what you do? Well, if your why is strong enough, it will always come through to the other side, and you believe in what you're doing, you know. And I think we can literally, it's making sense to me now why we were brought together. I think we can work on some things that will make a huge, huge difference. Yeah. And if we can get all these things sort of ticked off, then let's make everybody's life easier and let's save some bloody lives. That'd you up amazing. For that?
Yeah. Definitely.
Let's do it. Nikki and Jessica, thank you so much. And thank you for all the amazing work that you did. Can I just ask as well, if somebody is listening to this, and they do think that they've had a misdiagnosis, or they do feel like they have been let down. I know that there's a lady I've been chatting with recently. She was misdiagnosed. She told she was stage 2. By the time she got another scan, she was stage 4. This is in a matter of months. They got it wrong. If somebody is worried and or would just like to seek some help, can they get in touch with you? Is it easy to do so?
Yeah, of course. We're really not that scary at all. And even if it's just a chat, basically someone saying to us, this is what's happened, do you think there's a claim to pursue? Just call us. We're more than happy to have a chat.
And just as well, just to make themselves clear, they're not doctors, right? So, you know, if you are worried ever about your sort of family history and anything like that, please always call the National Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline. You can find all the details of that on our website, as well as the link to Grayson's also. So you'll be able to get in touch with them directly from there. Everything is there for you to find out. So please don't sort of sit there thinking, is it, might it be? Just ask the question. There's no harm in asking the question. And they will look after you if it is, and they will be able to answer you the other way if it's not. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Grayson Solicitors, where legal expertise meets compassionate service. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.